Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. And in this short podcast, we're continuing in the series What Saith the Scriptures and looking at the second epistle of Peter. Now, the second epistle of Peter is addressed to the same set of believers as the first. If you look at chapter 3 and in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter's authorship of the second epistle is questioned by most moderns, mainly on account of the change of tone and language from the first letter. Such reasoning, of course, not only betrays the mind of the majority of those who advance it, changes of tone and language there doubtless is, but this is more than accounted for by the change of subject, a subject that most moderns wouldn't find to their taste. It is the issue of damnable heresies, and those who perpetuate them that Peter deals with in this second epistle. And if that doesn't bring a change of tone to anyone's language, then it's doubtful if they have much regard for the truth. If Peter saw fit to strengthen the believers on account of the fiery trial that would destroy their bodies, how much more will he strengthen them on account of damnable heresies that would burn into their souls? Any Christian, and especially Christian leader, that cannot wax hot over damnable heresies in and around the churches had better take an assessment of their spiritual standing before God. Both Jude and Peter, not to mention every other New Testament writer, delivered their souls on these issues. In company with the first epistle, 2 Peter shows us the tower of strength and grace that Simon Bar-Jonas became under the good hand of the Lord upon him. One of the most blessed exercises in reading the two epistles is to trace out those memoirs of earlier days when Peter spent his life in company with the Saviour in this world. Some places are obvious, as for example when he tells us that he can never forget that time on the Holy Mount, the Mount of Transfiguration, when there came such a voice from the excellent glory that declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In 2 Peter 1 verse 17, or how the Lord had himself told how he would one day put off his tabernacle, 2 Peter 1:14. But many others are readily unearthed with a few careful thoughts. When he exhorts the elders of the churches that he is writing to feed the flock of God which is among you, it is hard not to envisage the scenes by the Sea of Galilee where the Lord told Peter three times over, "Feed my sheep." Here he tells all Christians to be clothed with humility, literally, be girded with humility. It is not hard to think that he's reflecting on the night in the upper room when Christ girded himself with a towel and washed the disciples' feet, which they had failed to do on account of their lack of humility. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 5. Or when he says in chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer," that he isn't reflecting on the Lord's parable concerning the man's servants who were watching when their Lord returned. Indeed, the Spirit had brought all things to his remembrance. May the Lord give you thoughts to the benefit of your souls on reading and listening to these things. Amen. Thank you for listening to another podcast from the Wicketgate, which can be found at www.wicketgate.co.uk. Bye.